On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here, middle of the week, 16th day of October, 2013. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com, halfway through the month of October. And I'm Bob Kincaid. Yes, indeed. Headonradionetwork.com is our home, where you can find the Listen Live button. You can find the chat room. You're always invited to participate in the chat room. And you can also find the PayPal button. The PayPal button is how we keep things going here, as is the traditional mail address. That traditional mail address, by the way, for those who don't want to go all the way to the website, is The Horn, H-O-R-N, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, Paul Mary Bravo, 318. Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V, 25801. Remember, checks and money orders should be made payable to Head On Communications or The Horn, and not Bob Kincaid, because Bob Kincaid does not receive that money. Bob Kincaid merely assists in paying the bill. But the mailbox part of it, Boss Man Wayne takes care of, and he loves not finding an echo in the mailbox when he goes to visit it. And thanks to all those of you who have kept the echoes at bay. Thanks to our buddy Scott in Sweden. Boss Man Wayne said that he received a kind contribution from Scott. I don't know if it falls under Beat the Swede, but the Swede... The Swede was part of helping us get out of the hole that we were in a week or so ago. So, Scott. And thanks to Brian, and thanks to Marty, and thanks for VJ, all of whom helped us get all the way up to the fundraising goal for last night so that we start this evening with a clean slate. Just $150 to rest in the course 3 hours. Hopefully we can do that. And, of course, it is... thank you, Randy and PA, letting me know loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac. Great. Wonderful. And I've got what I think is going to be some good news. Phones. Phones again. Yes, really, phones. Back and live and, well, they're not all fixed, okay? We still have problems with the main number, which appears to be the main problem. The main number does not work. You cannot dial into it. However... we've got six telephone lines here, and you can get into the other ones. So I'll be making a little further explanation about that later. Let's see. Where to go? Well, it's the middle of the week. Hump day! What day is it? It's Wednesday, as in downhill to Friday. Program note, reminder, no show on Friday. And I am still waiting to find out what the plans are regarding the funeral for my uncle, and trying to figure out whether or not we'll be able to attend that. So we don't know what that schedule is, but I was planning on being away on Friday anyway because of Doodle's adventure. So yeah, I'll let you know as I know. But definitely not here on Friday. Got to go see Doodle be a homecoming princess. She's excited and we're excited for her. She's smart and funny and beautiful, by the way. No, it's downhill to Friday. Middle of the week. But ever so much more than that, you know. That's right. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, brethren and sistren. So, having chased the deacons in from the parking lot where they're out there smoking with the sinners, having run them through the vestibule, past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated buttermints, and plopping them down in the front row where they belong so I can hit them with the flit gun when they start to snore, let's get prayer meeting Wednesday underway, brethren and sister, and hallelujah, glory. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, except when the plate comes to you, you don't want to drop it in the floor and make all that clanging noise. We'll be passing the plate during the offertory hymn, brethren and sister. Brother Minister of Music, if you would come forward, please, and lead us in. Amen. Can I get an amen? Our offertory hymn, glory.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you. Say, amen.
Amen.
Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hear you. And contents of the collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ. He should have used our accountants for his flow. Stop us for years with interest. He'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, Lenny and Brula. Solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches. Thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too. Wouldn't you, brethren and sistren? Wouldn't you? Oh. Amen, hallelujah, bless God, glory. This here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. This here is the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sisters. Get up out of them cushy seats and get out onto that blood-red aisle and come on down and fall on your knees before the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you. Ha! Amen. From the server on high, glory. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Antagonized Agnostic, Animated Animist, Bob Kincaid, and this here is the Cathedral of Common Sense. And brethren and sistren, oh, we got work to do. We got work to do this evening. Thanks to Brother Sal getting us started as the plate passed by. We have only, well, Sal's there just about every evening. Thank you, Brother Sal. And we've got only about $140 left to do for the evening. So somebody make Sal's Alexander Hamilton a little less lonesome there in the plate. Thank you. Amen and amen. No, we do have work to do today. Dr. Bill referenced this, brethren and sistren, yesterday because I sent this video along to him because I knew that he would be... Well, I knew he'd find this just as icky as I did. might be beneficial to understand just exactly where it is these evangelicals are coming from. You might remember a few years back when we had the audio of Sister Sarah Palin getting herself all anointed and protected against the witches up at her Holy Roller Church up there in Wasilla. Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Ted Cruz is the son of another right-wing evangelical huckster, Rafael Cruz. Didn't have time to run out and find that clip about Rafael from the movie Being There, but just imagine that I did. At any rate, this goes back to last summer. And it's audio of one of these little claverns that right-wing dominionists like to get themselves into from time to time. And it is a gentle reminder that we take them lightly at our own risk. And by the way, apparently we have a deal. We have a deal to avert default and the shutdown. But if you were listening last night, you know that much of the damage has already been done. And so the ballyhooing should probably be kept to a minimum. And what this means, basically, is that they're going to sit down and talk about the budget. The teabaggers who hate government, who are in open rebellion against the idea of this government, are going to get to sit at a table and actually talk about all the things they want to destroy. The military is not touchable. Nothing's really available for touching except perhaps for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, WIC, SNAP, and anything that does any good whatsoever for the American majority. If you were listening to Dr. Bill a little bit ago, you know that the majority is actually the poor in just about any country. And I was thinking when he mentioned that, how ironic then that we learned that we were taught to start speaking of people of other skin tones as minorities, when in fact it is the poor in this country who are the majority, and as noted by the designation 1%, the rich who are the minority. And yet, somehow or another, we have minority rule in this country. But anyway, they got together, these fundamentalist evangelicals did. And I think you're going to find this, well, maybe not shocking, but it is at least a little bit noteworthy that they're willing to talk so openly about their goals. May 1st, National Day of Prayer, 2013.
Hi, I'm Ted Cruz. Thank you for letting me join you in your National Day of Prayer celebration. We understand that our rights come not from a king or queen, not from government, but from the Lord God Almighty. Today, there are great challenges facing our nation. But if America is going to continue to stand strong, we must first be on our knees.
You know, there are a lot of Christian scholars, when they talk about the marriage issue, they see it as a religious freedom issue. I mean, they see it as, in essence, you know, going down this line of potential hate speech from the pulpit. What is your sense about where this potentially could be going?
Well, if you look at other nations that have gone down the road towards gay marriage, that's the next step of where it gets enforced, is it gets enforced against Christian pastors who...
Could American pastors be charged with hate speech for speaking out on their convictions? That's the warning from one up-and-coming superstar in the GOP. For more on that, we turn now to our chief political correspondent, David Brody. David, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Lori.
Well, David, we'll get to Senator Ted Cruz's remarks in just a second. But first, tell us about this event that you just covered. It was all about getting pastors to speak out and use their pulpits as a platform. Talk about that.
Well, that's right. About 800 pastors or so in Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, to be exact, inside the Marriott for 2 days, all expenses paid by this group called the Iowa Renewal Project. And basically, their goal is to get pastors to speak out more on the issues of the day from the pulpit. You know, Iowa always very important politically. It is where many candidates like Rick Santorum and Mike Huckabee get their start presidentially. And folks like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul were there on hand to speak to these pastors because they are indeed thinking about running for office in 2016.
Each of you is here.
Now this here is Ted Cruz. And this is the actual clavern they held in Iowa. Just listen, and maybe get a little bit nervous.
Because you've heard the call to stand up for your principles, for your values, and stand up for your nation. The book of Hosea tells us, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Edmund Burke put the points a little differently when he said, the only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And the prophet Ezekiel charged us, Son of man, you are a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, weep, hear a word from my mouth, and give the warning from me. That's the charge we've been given. And as pastors, that is a special charge, a special responsibility for each of you as pastors to stand up and give the people warning. You know, in Texas, we just had a battle where the legislature passed a bill, thankfully, prohibiting abortions after 20 weeks, prohibiting late-term abortions. As you know, it was an epic battle. There were protesters on both sides. They tried to shut down the legislature. I'll tell you, the pro-life protesters came to the Capitol. They were arm-in-arm, singing Amazing Grace. And the pro-abortion protesters responded by chanting, Hail Satan.
You
can't make this stuff up.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. There you go, except for one thing. It's a dang lie. Straight up, it is a lie. One person walked by and went, Hail Satan! And by the time Ted Cruz, whom the truth ain't in, by the time Ted Cruz gets done with it, there's a veritable army of pro-abortion people chanting, Hail Satan. We ran the audio. Hail Satan. Heavenly days. And Dr. John just noticed something. And yes, Dr. John, you are correct. Just got a note from Dr. John asking, just 1 second, it'll load up here. Had a little couple of computer issues. Funny how that happens. Did Cruz just admit that he rejects the founders? And you heard it. Our rights come from God, not from the consent of the governed? Asked Dr. John. Why does Ted Cruz hate Washington, Jefferson, and Madison? Well, because in that instance, they are inconvenient to him. The ideas of self-government are noxious. It just so happens that I just got a posting from Beth over on my Facebook page that you might find instructive in this light. Assuming I can get even minimal cooperation from this computer. Let's go to the other one. Sorry. Takes a minute. We'll be there in a sec. So a moment ago, we were hearing from Ted Cruz, who was talking about how rights come, as Dr. John noted, how rights come from God and all that silly palaver. Well, we go from there to his daddy. We'll go back to Senator Ted in a minute. But understand what his daddy says about his little boy.
The pastor referred to Proverbs 13:22 a little while ago, which says that the wealth of the wicked is stored for the righteous. And it is through the kings anointed to take dominion that transfer of wealth is going to occur.
You got that? How much more clearly do we need them to tell us that they intend to set up a monarchy? That they're sick and tired of this popular sovereignty. They're sick and tired of being of the people ruling themselves. That what we, by God, need is a king. Hint, Raphael here. Raphael says it's his boy. Disturbed yet? Because I find that more than a little bit disturbing. I find it terrifying. For an excess of 230 years, we have managed to at least be ruled by people who didn't have the nerve to call themselves king. Now they're out, you know, the hogs are in the tunnel. And by the way, with regard to the alleged debt ceiling deal and the no default deal, let's get something abundantly clear here. Granny, Grandpa, I'd start stocking up if I were you, because the hogs are in the tunnel for you too. And they'll be coming back long about February. Is there anyone? Can anybody give me a cogent argument for why I should think that we will not go through this hostage situation, this hostage taking, all over again come February 2013? Anybody? Is anybody feeling that silly? God almighty. So now that we know that Ted's father, Raphael, thinks that Ted is just what we need in the way of a king. Let's go back to Ted. He's talking now.
And the prophet Ezekiel charged us, "Son of man, you are a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, we hear a word from my mouth and give the warning from me." That's the charge we've been given. And as pastors, that is a special charge, a special responsibility for each of you as pastors to stand up and give the people warning. You know, in Texas, we just had a battle where the legislature passed a bill, thankfully, prohibiting abortions after 20 weeks, prohibiting late-term abortions.
Okay, here comes the whole station party again. Yeah, clap, you monkeys.
As you know, it was an epic battle. There were protesters on both sides. They tried to shut down the legislature. I'll tell you, the pro-life protesters came to the Capitol. They were arm-in-arm, singing Amazing Grace. And the pro-abortion protesters responded by chanting, "Hail Satan."
Ready to murmur. Hear the murmuring?
There you go.
There you go.
I'll give them this. It's truth in advertising. We are seeing our liberties threatened on every front.
Right.
We have seen reports of the military, of men and women in the military being told, if you share your faith, if you tell someone the love of Jesus Christ, you face court martial.
Which is, of course, a lie.
Father, we believe that indeed no...
Now, here's where it gets really scary. So they got Ted there with his little head-worn microphone still on, because, you know, God needs a microphone, and David Barton's standing there, and Papa Raphael is there, and they're going to get to praying.
Christ, you face court martial.
Father, we believe that indeed no weapon formed against him will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against him in judgment will be condemned. For this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and his righteousness is of you, Lord. Father, you've said that, and we believe that today. Father, we ask today that you would give him the tongue of the learned to speak that word. Father, we ask that your blessing would come upon our nation. Father, those like our senator, Father, that they would receive these words.
Dear Father, we bring Senator Rand Paul to you here today.
Yeah, he was there too.
Lord, it's unusual to hear a politician say that we need revival in this country.
Now, this is a guy who tried to force a woman at Baylor University down on, what is it, Hog Creek, to bow down and worship a ceramic Buddha bong, Aqua Buddha. And here he is getting anointed by a bunch of fundy goobers in Iowa. Yeah, okay.
That we need spiritual renewal. But Lord, we do, and I ask you to be with the senator. Do you use his life, his influence?
And they got their hands on it, laying their hands on each other, and by the way, walking away from the voter values voter, value city, whatever, the clavering this past weekend. The one who drew the plurality on the presidential preference poll, which was what this whole damn thing was all about, Ted Cruz. Uh-huh. Ted Cruz. The whole thing was an advertisement for Ted Cruz because he's fulfilling their dream. Their dream, their yearning of an America free of anything smacking of self-rule. Let's go back to Daddy Raphael in Irving, Texas, August 26, 2012.
Before the king went to battle,
bottle?
The priest came and blessed the king and blessed the warriors. And the
oddly enough, that's what you just heard taking place in Iowa, in Iowa Way Stan. Blessing the future king. And, you know, Rand got a little bit of it, too. But this was about Ted Cruz and the theocracy for which he yearns.
King needed the blessing of the priest in order to be successful in battle.
Father, we believe that indeed no weapon formed against him will prosper.
And there it is.
And every tongue that rises up against him in judgment will be condemned. For this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. And his righteousness is of you, Lord. Father, you've said that, and we believe that today.
Scared yet? Probably ought to be.
It is such a privilege and a pleasure to be here in Iowa.
This is Ames, Iowa now, and it's Rafael Cruz again.
So, as a result of what I saw in Jimmy Carter, I became very involved in an organization called the Religious Roundtable. The Religious Roundtable was a...
Now, see, this guy's a little more dangerous than your average Kenneth Copeland, because he's not out there on TV every Sunday or... hustling the prosperity gospel and making a clown out of himself like Pastor Hagee does. This guy's been working behind the scenes for a generation to destroy American government, to destroy our ability to govern ourselves and instead subject every person in this country to rule by a theocratic cabal that thinks that the Bible is literal truth for the ages, when in fact it was written by barbarians who were fascinated by wheelbarrows and didn't understand rain.
A Judeo-Christian organization that mobilized millions of Christians all across the United States.
You know, isn't it interesting that a Judeo-Christian organization mobilizes only Christians? Where's the Judeo part of that Judeo-Christian cabal? Yeah, I think they're in sort of name only.
Help elect Ronald Reagan. It was the precursor of the Tea Party even before moral majority. We did it in 1980. We can do it again. Do you think back? 1963. Prayer and Bible reading were taken out of schools.
No, they weren't. You're a liar. But then again, you know, he's a fundamentalist evangelical Christian. By definition, he is a liar. I'm being rather redundant, I'm afraid. Prayer and Bible reading were not taken out of the schools. Enforced prayer, "You pray this prayer with us," was declared to be unconstitutional insofar as it was a violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution, which it still is. You want to see how committed they are to prayer in the public schools? Tell them you're okay with that as long as it's a Muslim prayer and all the children are bowing toward Mecca. You'll find out how. Oh no, that's the wrong prayer. It's the wrong God. It's the wrong everything. Right? Yeah.
And the church remained silent. As a result, teen pregnancy skyrocketed, promiscuity skyrocketed, vandalism skyrocketed, dropout rates in high school skyrocketed. 1973, Roe v. Wade was passed. The church remained silent.
No, it didn't. The weirdos have been in the streets ever since then. God knows if a woman wants to go and be treated at one of these women's reproductive health centers, she has to run a gauntlet of freaks. I think about the man who lost his temper in Alabama when his wife, who had a dead fetus inside of her, tried to go to the clinic and they sang "Happy Birthday, Dead Baby" to her. Yeesh.
And more than 55 million babies have been massacred through abortion. The real...
Massacred. One of them might have cured cancer by now. Asshole.
Champions of our revolution were the pastors.
Oh, here comes a real dandy. The champions of the American Revolution were pastors. The imaginary Black Robe Brigade, they love talking about this. They preached on Sunday, and then they put their tri-cornered hats on and marched off to battle for freedom in Jesus.
You ever heard of the Black Robe Regiment?
There you go. I'm good. Okay, I already watched this. But the Black Robe Regiment is all over the place.
The Black Robe Regiment were a series of pastors that wear long black robes. Many of them had the Continental Army uniform underneath the black robe. They would preach on Sunday, take off that robe, and with half the congregation, they would go out and fight for independence. Socialism requires that government becomes your God. That's why they have to destroy the concept of God.
Really? I've read Marx and Engels. And there's that line out there about religion being the opiate of the masses. And that's true, but that's largely been replaced, and that's part of the jealousy here. These freaks are jealous that television and cable are now the opiate of the masses. They want to go back to being the opiate of the masses because they were getting, you know, that's where the money comes from. Whoop.
They have to destroy all loyalties except loyalty to the government. That's what is behind.
So is this freak saying he has no loyalty to the government of the United States, we the people? Is he, like his son, admitting treason? Sedition? I do think he is. Note coming in from Jeremy. Hey, Ted's daddy. It's okay. You can call him Raphael. Hey, Ted's daddy. What about the 100 million Native Americans that were slaughtered by the Christians? Yeah, well, off to heaven. Jeremy also pointing out, listen to the freaks whoop and holler and say things not quite picked up by the hotted-up mic. Jesus Christ, Bob, if there's a hell, it has to be centered around these freaks and their gatherings to praise their bearded, juvenile, delinquent God. And the lies over and over and over, says Jeremy. Holy hell! Irish Dave pointing out, Ted, full of bluster, is from Canada. It's not his fault. Yeah, we got to have a talk with Canada. Then Dr. John with an observation. Didn't J.C. take a dim view of war? I remember my John Prine. Now, Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason for. Yes, that is St. John of Prine. Absolutely. What a mess.
Sexual marriage is really more about the destruction of the traditional family than about exalting homosexuality. Because you need to destroy also loyalty to the family. Our life is under attack. We already saw what is happening with abortion. The same thing is happening at the other end with Obamacare. Obamacare is going to destroy the elderly. If everyone...
And he just throws that stuff out there and keeps on moving, and the sheeple in the seats, yes, praise God, it's going to destroy the elderly. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands in the air. Yes. You know what's going to destroy the elderly? People like his freak son who want to destroy Medicare and Social Security. That'll destroy the elderly.
One of us makes that commitment, we will take this country back. The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 29 and 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
God bless the family.
And here's Sonny.
God bless Bob Vanderplas. What a tremendous voice for life, for marriage, for returning to our founding principles.
Today's lesson will come from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Duck! Kind of reminds me of, well, this. Those people hollering and clapping.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Bingo.
And God bless each and every one of you for being here today and for your passion. And I will confess I am today violating what had been a cardinal rule, which is never, ever, ever follow my father at the podium.
Oh, you're violating something, Ted. You're violating the whole country. Repeatedly. Lovelessly.
The Texas legislature acted sensibly to prevent those kind of atrocities and to prohibit late-term abortions, to prohibit abortions after 20 weeks.
Here it comes. Because this is a road show. Same speech, different town. Hello, Cleveland! You know?
I thought the defining moment of that dispute in the Texas legislature is when pro-life activists were arm-in-arm singing Amazing Grace. And the pro-abortion activists began countering it by chanting, Hail Satan. You know, you can't make this stuff up.
No, but you can make your God up. And Satan, too. And you can make up an entire crowd of pro-abortion protesters chanting, Hail Satan. And you can make it up out of one lone smartass. And that gasp when I got to hear that gasp again. It's kind of like when I referred to the 4,000-year-old book of myths written by barbarians who were baffled by wheelbarrows and didn't understand rain. And the nurse on Monday backed away from me like she wanted to make sure she didn't get in, that the lightning bolt that was coming for me didn't get her.
Prohibit late-term abortions, to prohibit abortions after 20 weeks. I thought the defining moment of that dispute in the Texas legislature is when pro-life activists were arm-in-arm singing Amazing Grace. And the pro-abortion activists began countering it by chanting, Hail Satan.
Oh.
You can't make this stuff up. I will give them credit for one thing, truth in advertising. And I think the simplest and best solution is we need to abolish the IRS. And there is no more important regulatory reform that we can do than to repeal every single word of Obamacare. Have an opportunity right now between now and September 30th to defund Obamacare. Let me tell you, if we can hold 41 Republicans in the U.S. Senate or 218 Republicans in the U.S. House, we can defund Obamacare.
Convinced? I hope like heck you are. Because they're coming for you. Texas Betsy with a note about prayer in schools. She says, in preparing for the time change and earlier sunsets, one of my students, an Orthodox Jewish boy from Israel, asked me how he can pray the afternoon service if tutoring goes to until 5, 2 days a week. After talking to my principal and a rabbi friend, I ended up offering him my room for the 15 minutes between the end of classes and the start of tutoring. He told another kid in my eighth period class, and now I have two Muslim kids who want to come in for one of their prayer times. I can't wait until the day that everybody needs to pray at the same time. Or, to be fair, I can't wait until everybody stops praying. you know, pray in one hand, in the other, and see which one fills up first. Jeremy pointing out, Bob, they're making my pre-existing headache just that much more painful. Gasp. Yeah. This from GK. Bob, our founding principles, Teddy Boy, you mean like genocide and slavery, those founding principles? Yeah, that's some of them. Betsy's saying, Bob, there's nothing wrong with prayer. Nothing right with it either. That's the problem. Nothing wrong with singing in the shower. Dr. John pointing out, we know that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. I wonder if the founders did. I suspect not, but maybe that's a question for Dr. Bill. On the one hand, it seems like a very stupid question, but on the other hand, these right-wingers are making a lot of hay about how the founders supported so-called traditional family values, so maybe we should look into it? I think that's probably advisable, Dr. John. Especially in light of the fact that, I mean, is it just apocryphal, or did Benjamin Franklin really father a child out of wedlock when he was in his 80s? Of course, I don't know how that whole traditional family values thing works out when you take I guess it is traditional family values. Sally Hemings was the half sister of the wife of Thomas Jefferson, who died and left him grief stricken. So yeah, keep it in the family. Then again, you can't dig too deep into the founders, or else you find out some surprising stuff, like the fact that many of them were drunker than Adam's off ox most of the time, drinking upwards of 3 gallons of wine a day. Some of them augmenting it with laudanum shooters. Really. So, you know, we've got that. Now, just to give you an idea of, a bunch of stuff in the stack for this evening. I ran across an article from the Christian Science Monitor on Monday, and its title was What Archaeology Tells Us About the Bible. And in reading it, I shot it over to Dr. John for his comments on it, because as I read through it, there were these things that leapt out at me about, that smelled a bit of bullshit. And it's all about a dig in Israel. The Bible people are constantly trying to find evidence for the reality of their myths. And they love to use archaeology to do it. So I dropped Dr. John a note and sent him the link to the story and just asked him what he thought of it. He said, "Ask and ye shall receive. Hope this makes sense." The article in question, What Archaeology Tells Us About the Bible, ran Monday in the Christian Science Monitor. Don't be fooled by the title. The CSM is a reputable paper. I used to take it in college, as a matter of fact, and it was really good for foreign policy stuff and international reporting, with good reporters doing good journalism. They also, though, print a daily Christian Science Minute, an excerpt from Mary Baker Eddy's writings, or they did the last time I read it, says Dr. John. So bear in mind, there's an agenda somewhere there. Nobody go to the doctor. What's striking to me about this article, though, Dr. John continues, is how well it illustrates the problem with putting archaeology out before the public. People assume the work we do is objective, scientific, and, well, the truth. The reality is much different. I quote from the article, "It is more than ancient currency," because they found some coins at this particular site, said to be the palace of King David. "It is more than ancient currency that has drawn the world's attention to this serene hilltop overlooking Israel's Valley of Elah, where David felled Goliath with a sling." I didn't know Goliath had a sling, but never mind, that's grammatic. I guess it'd be, where David, using a sling, felled Goliath, period. There's something important missing there, Dr. John notes. A citation. The David and Goliath story is not history, but a parable. Writing that this valley is where David felled Goliath with a sling is akin to writing about a mouse which once freed a lion by gnawing open the net that trapped him. When you come across something like where David felled Goliath with a sling in a newspaper article about archaeologists doing excavations, you create the sense that, we all believe that. But it's actual history, not myth. I should note here that saying something is myth or parable does not mean that it has no value. Remember your Hamlet. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophies. I'd suggest that we're richer as a culture for having the David and Goliath story, but that's pretty insignificant compared to the uses that Jewish and Christian traditions have put the story. It argues for the superiority of David over Saul as a leader. It represents the metaphorical triumph of God's chosen over nature, and the eventual victory of believers over unbelievers. All of that may or may not be desirable. The fact is, those ideologies exist, and the story has been put to their service, and thus made meaningful. What's interesting about this article is, if you read between the lines, it actually demonstrates how archaeology itself is concerned not with truth, but with validating ideologies. This is particularly true for the type known as biblical archaeology, focused on sites and time periods referred to by the scriptures. Biblical archaeologists are a different breed from the rest of us archaeologists. They tend to be European or Middle Eastern or overtly Christian Americans. They tend to come up not through anthropology departments, but through classics departments. That means, unlike anthropological archaeologists who are trained to think about how humans eat, labor, produce, consume, and do all the other cultural things we do, they are steeped in ancient languages, ancient texts, and source criticism. Regardless, archaeology is most assuredly not a quest for objective truth. It's a practice of interpretation. We deal with objective facts, but put them to service to make a larger point about humans in the past, and by extension, in the present. That point is actually made well in the article. I quote, "The dispute is exacerbated by the imprecision of archaeology, a discipline that is as much art as science. What ancient potsherds reveal about the past is subject to interpretation, which is shaped by prevailing cultural views, history, religion, and politics. And perhaps nowhere in the world is the nexus of religion and politics more combustible than in the Middle East." That's all true, Dr. John continues. What the Israeli archaeologist is trying to demonstrate is that Israel at the time of David, we'll let that slide for today, was a very organized, powerful, state-like entity on par with the great civilizations of the time in Egypt and Mesopotamia. He wants to do that because the traditions imply it. If David wasn't really a king over a giant integrated state, then the scriptures are at best misleading. Moreover, if an entity that the modern Israeli state claims as its forerunner was really spread over a space greater than modern Israel, well then, surely modern Israel has a claim on that land, right? That's the point. He doesn't just want to demonstrate that David ruled a state. He wants to do that because then it makes modern Israel's claim on disputed land just a little stronger. I'm not saying that's good or bad, simply that that is how it is. Notice the main proponents of biblical archaeology who are named in the article. One, a son of American missionaries. Think Tim Tebow with a Marshalltown trowel. The other, a former Israeli military officer. The motives of those types are, I'd say, the same, though for different reasons. From my perspective, all of this is neither good nor bad. It just is. Anyone who deals in the past is producing our ideology. I suspect Dr. Bill would agree with that. The key to me is to be upfront about that. Acknowledge your motivations and don't hide behind a false curtain of objectivity. Damn it, I'm not objective, and I don't do what I do to create a value-free knowledge. I do it because I think capitalism is an unnatural, out-of-control system that's taken humanity by the throat for very specific reasons and in very specific ways. and I try to identify and understand those reasons and ways in my scholarship. Anyone who reads my work gets that, and they're welcome to take my data and interpret it in a different way. But doing so won't result in a more truthful or more objective account, but an interpretation that is just differently biased. For my money, Dr. John concludes, the interesting question isn't whether David's Israel was a state as we define it, but why some people are so concerned with insisting that it was. Follow those people, and you find their motive. And I think that motive is, at best, unsettling. Brilliant piece of analysis from Dr. John. And it is unsettling. I mean, it's not a joke to note that, consider Raiders of the Lost Ark. People would love to find that, even though it was probably not real. Insofar as much of the events that are described around it probably weren't real either. That's a different article, Jeremy. He said, is this the article that claimed a grave was found with the names Mary, Joseph, and Jesus? No. That was another something that came out of the dirt over there. I can get pretty, and I'm guilty of this, I can get pretty romantic about times past and people's past, and just thinking about the everyday lives of people on this planet over the course of millennia. It is humbling to behold something like a pyramid made of earth in southwest Tennessee, or central Ohio, or not far from the banks of the Mississippi in Illinois, never having seen the pyramids at Chichen Itza or Tulan, or no. I can only imagine that. But when you use it to advance claims in the present of a dubious nature in the first place, you know, understand the Christian fundies are using it to try to figure out how they can make Jesus come back, and the Israeli guys are using it to try to argue that that some sort of, I don't know, real estate deed issue. Dr. John's right. The motive is disturbing. But it is prayer meeting Wednesday. And we need to turn now to the Family Research Council. They, of course, hold themselves out to be absolute definers of Christianity. So we'll go now to the head of the Family Research Council, Tony Norman.
Yes, Mother Bates.
Perkins. Who went on Janet Mefford's radio show yesterday. To talk about what is and isn't acceptable to the followers of Christ. See, I keep calling for decent Christians, you know, your mainstream types, the people who aren't running around looking for people to hate but are looking for more people to love, the folks like the United Churches of Christ, the Episcopal Church in many instances, the more liberal and loving aspects of Roman Catholicism, folks like that. I keep looking for them to just stand up and plainly say, these people are not Christians. Talking about Tony Perkins and Donald Wildman and Brian Fisher. Just say they're not Christians and they're going to burn. Because until something like that happens, I have no way of separating them out because they all believe the same stuff. But they won't do it. On the other hand, these folks will. Tony Perkins is happy to tell you who is and isn't a Christian. And here's a hint. It's anybody who doesn't believe exactly as he believes ain't a Christian. I might suggest this would be a nice time to get the tennis ball and the duct tape out.
Not only do we have a privilege in this nation to be involved in shaping our government, because as you said, it's a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, I think as Christians, we'll be held responsible for the policies adopted by this government, because it's us.
Yeah, right. That's right. That's so true. That's so true. And I note here that, and as I'm looking through Jonathan Merritt's article here on the government shutdown may drive more young Christians from the GOP, he cites this action that he says, this, first of all, this letter from faith leaders denouncing the shutdown, and then he says, and it's all the liberals, and then he says, displeasure isn't only flowing from Christians' left flank, and then he proceeds to cite a faithful filibuster, and you go to the story and you realize that's full of liberals too. So it almost seems like we're hearing a lot of rhetoric that if you really want to be a faithful Christian, what you really need to do is become a liberal, because they really care about the poor and things like that.
It's not so much. They do care about the poor. And I would argue that they care about the poor because they're decent human beings, and they would care about the poor whether they were religionists or not. But they have an understanding of their avatar that says that he spent more time talking about the poor than about anything else in his ministry, in his teachings. And they are correct in that. None of which matters to Tony Perkins. Did you hear the way Janet Mefford said? It was just liberals. Liberals. Yeah.
Unpack that for just a moment, Janet. What is that saying? Is that saying then the government has the responsibility to care for the poor? That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture handed that responsibility to you and I as members of the faith of followers of Jesus Christ. That
you got that? We don't need to be in the food stamp business in the government of the United States. We don't need to be doing the WIC. We need for hungry people to go on bended knee begging to some faith bunch for a crust of moldy bread and a bowl of thin soup. We, the people, working on that more perfect union, working on that domestic tranquility, we can't look out for each other, because ultimately SNAP and WIC and things like that are a matter of we, the people, acting in concert together, pooling our resources, and making sure that, to the extent we humanly possibly can, that no one goes without. That no one starves to death in this country. Tony Perkins, Christian, can't tolerate that. He says that that was a burden laid on the churches, and that nobody else has it. As if nobody but Christians has an obligation to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the poor. I mean, it is all right there in Matthew 25. There's no getting around it. But it's also in the Quran. It's also in the Torah. It's also in the Rig Veda. It's also in the Upanishads. It's also in the Bhagavad Gita. It's also in the dialectics of Confucius. Was it Confucius that did the dialectics? It's in the Tao Te Ching. It's in Shintoism. It is in certainly every animist belief system that has ever arisen. It is not the exclusive province of the Christians. And so, therefore, it is a perfect thing for all of us to do together. We provide for the common defense, and I don't hear Tony Perkins saying that that should be the business of only the Christians. Skinflint, tight-ass little bastards wouldn't spring for a goddamn biplane if we had to look to them to defend this country. But Tony Perkins is offended that people would suggest that the government can help feed people.
Who he gave that to? Well, okay, well, let's unpack that for just a moment, Janet. What is that saying? Is that saying then the government has the responsibility to care for the poor? That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture handed that responsibility to you and I as members of the faith of followers of Jesus Christ. That's who he gave that to, not to the civil government. He never said to Rome, to the Romans, hey, you guys need to make sure that you're taking out of one person's pocket to put into another. He said, no, you sell all that you have and give to the poor.
What a filthy lying bastard. Because, of course, the Romans had a grain dole. The Roman government bought grain at whatever price grain was going for, and periodically, especially in times of hunger, would simply put it out for the hungry. Because the 1% who ruled Rome understood that they weren't going to continue to be filthy rich if all their poor people starved to death. And I hear audio like this that I know went out to terrestrial radio stations, and I just wonder, you know, like all those voices gasping in that auditorium. Oh, hail Satan. And you just wonder how many people think that Tony Perkins is a truth teller.
You take that responsibility. So this is how disingenuous the left is. They accuse evangelicals of wanting to create a theocracy, which is the farthest thing from the truth, when in fact they are treating the government as if it had divine instructions from God to be a form of theocracy.
You've nailed it.
You've nailed it. Of course, he's nailed nothing. But you got that? The real theocrats are not they who want to impose some sort of twisted vision of biblical government on you and me. The real theocrats are people who want to see to it that little babies that these assholes insist had to be born don't starve to death after they have been. Well, God will look after them. If they starve, that's that must have been Hail Satan babies. Damn. Irish Dave, too. Also, circuses. Yeah, don't forget the circuses. Bread and circuses. Jeremy asking, whatever happened to the old Jesus? What you do unto the least of these, my brothers, you do also unto me. Well, you didn't tell the Romans to do that, Jeremy. I mean, God damn. Oh, and the introduction this evening of a little something that our buddy Jay Cruzen is providing. Every prayer meeting, we will have some really heinous, hideous, ugly, violent, filthy passage from the Bible to share, because it's full of such stuff. Tonight comes from Deuteronomy 13:13-19. The new something, the NLT. Jay Cruzen, just for the record, I like my filthy, murderous Bible quotes in the King James Version going forward, if you wouldn't mind. Suppose you hear in one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you that some worthless rabble among you have led their fellow citizens astray by encouraging them to worship foreign gods. In such cases, you must examine the facts carefully. If you find it is true and can prove that such a detestable act has occurred among you, you must attack that town and completely destroy all of its inhabitants, as well as all the livestock, Then you must pile all the plunder in the middle of the street and burn it. Put the entire town to the torch as a burnt offering to the Lord your God. That town must remain a ruin forever. It may never be rebuilt. Keep none of the plunder that has been set apart for destruction. Then the Lord will turn from his fierce anger and be merciful to you. He will have compassion on you and make you a great nation, just as he solemnly promised your ancestors. The Lord your God will be merciful only if you obey him and keep all the commands I am giving you today, doing what is pleasing to him. And then this from Deuteronomy chapter 22. But if this charge is true, that she wasn't a virgin on her wedding night, and evidence of the girl's virginity is not found, they shall bring the girl to the entrance of her father's house, and there her townsmen shall stone her to death, because she committed a crime against Israel by her unchasteness in her father's house. Thus shall you purge the evil from your midst. He's a loving God. You betcha. Thanks, Jay Cruzen. Looking forward to this segment every week. Hoo-wee. And we haven't even scratched the surface. A little note, nobody jumping in quite yet to provide a little bit of company for Sal's picture of Alexander Hamilton. It would be awfully nice if someone could. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com. Let's move on. Wouldn't be prayer meeting Wednesday. Well, I mean, lately we've been having a whole bunch of Marion Robertson, but doggone it, there's too much competition. The last time we checked in with corpulent brother John Hagee, starve! He was explaining that rock and roll is satanic cyanide. He's back. And he's... this guy... Oh, my God. Somebody... Really. He needs a Thorazine dart in the neck. The paranoia is completely out of hand. But for the folks who show up to his tax-free Dodge, well, he's always got some red meat to throw them.
Secular humanism is the pagan god. It has filled our
What? I don't think he had completely swallowed all the macaroni and cheese before he started talking. Well, secular humanism? Going to eat your mama's Bible, I reckon. Swallow first, John. Don't get in such an all-fired hurry.
Secular humanism is a pagan god.
Oh, well.
It has filled our drug rehab centers. It has filled our divorce courts.
It also wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, but never mind that. Divorce courts and rehab centers, sure.
It has filled our shelter for battered wives. Secular humanism.
Yeah, because, see, no Christian ever beats his wife, except that they do. Because most of the vast, well, the numbers for domestic abuse, domestic violence, the numbers for domestic violence are considerably higher in places like Alabama-stan and Texas-stan and Oklahoma-stan and Louisiana-stan and Mississippi-stan and Georgia-stan and all the other Stan states, as compared to the blue states, much higher, as are the divorce rates. And you can't swing a stuffed teddy bear without hitting somebody who's a member of some gospel sharp outfit there. Okay, Irish Dave, a mere Thorazine dart would never suffice with John Hagee. That's why Al, the one true Gore, invented the Thorazine harpoon to pierce all that blubber. Amen. Amen, Brother Dave. Amen. But back to John Hagee.
Has filled our rape crisis centers, our mental hospitals, our singles bars, our penitentiaries, our roster of guests for the...
Wait an effing minute. How did singles bars get into that list? And pardon me, isn't that just a little bit like late 60s, early 70s polyester singles bars? Because, I lead a fairly sheltered hillbilly life, but sometimes I'm down in the big city, down in Charleston, or in the not quite so big city, Beckley, and I'm unaware of any singles bars. Now, I mean, there's a few Irish pubs and a couple of nice pizza joints, but really, singles bars? I don't think John Hagee gets out much. It's pretty much dinner table to podium, podium to dinner table for John Hagee. What are you finding out there at the singles bars, son? Well, Dad. No, tell me all about it.
Dead television talk shows, you see. America is becoming a pagan society. We are in a moral freefall. When a school teacher cannot refer to the Ten Commandments, but is approved of teaching the principles of witchcraft, our country is going in the wrong direction.
And what school is that? Oh, I got it, Pastor John. That's the school that exists between the thin gray settlings that slosh about between your ears that pass for brains laying on top of that amygdala, that great big, great big humongous amygdala of yours. Can't refer to the Ten Commandments, but they can teach witchcraft. Ithacaboola, bibbidi boola, bibbidi. Jesus. And this guy is richer than Croesus. It's mind-boggling. Dr. John observing, secular humanism is a pagan god. Well, I guess I'll see y'all at the Oak Grove next Samhain. I'll bring the Black Sabbath albums to play backwards. Can we count on Bob to supply the fresh harvest cider and maybe Jeremy to bring the maple candy? Sounds like a good time's going to be had by all. And I think we've got some friends in Northern California who could probably contribute something vegetative to the festivities. I know a guy that makes a little bit of moonshine. That could be fun. Beth, you're going to be in charge of the barbecue, okay? I mean, you're coming from Texas and everything, so. Don't forget, we'll be needing. John, don't get all caught up in your Black Sabbath there, brother. We'll have to be playing some Beatles and some Led Zeppelin and some Pink Floyd backwards too. Wisconsin pagans, you're down for the two things. You're down for the cheese curds and the spotted cow beer, please. You can't get that stuff outside Wisconsin. Arizona listeners, Jay, you out there? You're into the peyote buttons, okay? What else? Peaches from Georgia or Clanton County, Alabama. They grow a fine peach there. The Tennessee contingent can bring the Jack Daniels. The Kentucky contingent, Dennis, we're into you for the bourbon. Man, this is going to be a time. I think we're going to have more fun than they ever had there at that gospel emporium of Pastor John Hagee. Continue on, your eminent corpulence.
When the Boy Scouts of America are censured and penalized for refusing to accept homosexual scout leaders, we are a pagan nation without shame.
What if, and this is just a thought experiment, what if we're neither a pagan nation, a Christian nation, a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Sikh nation, an animist nation, a Hindu nation, a Buddhist nation, a Jain nation, a Shinto nation, a Confucian nation? What if we're all of those things, and yet none of those things, John? Pastor John? You pasty-faced, doughy old fraud, you? What if we're all of those things and yet none of those things because we maintain a separation between government and religion? What if? What if? What if?
When we bow down to worship movie stars and rock stars.
Wait, did I miss something? I haven't seen anybody bowing down to George Clooney or Leo DiCaprio or Scarlett Johansson or no. I haven't seen any bowing. You gotta wonder just where Pastor John gets his material.
Whose moral code would make a sow blush? We have become a pagan nation.
Sows can blush? Oh, I think that's the point. Sometimes I'm a little slow on the uptake with these guys.
We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed sodomy and called it an alternative lifestyle. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It was, is, and always shall be an abomination unto the Lord.
I would sincerely... Well, I was about to be hateful. I'm just looking forward to the funeral of Pastor John Hagee. Let's put it that way. It was a couple of nights ago when I ran the clip of Jim Bob Duggar, Quiver Daddy, stating that... the United States is the same as Nazi Germany. And it was that clip and others. Oh, cool. Okay. Thanks, Duncan. Duncan's got the nuts and the olives covered from Northern California. Thank you. This is going to be a great party. Coming up, too, isn't it? So, Duncan's got the nuts and the olives. Oh, fresh olives. Yummy. Love me some almonds, too. So, what else? What else? What else? Anybody? And you know what? We can debut our opening tracks of Meet the Feetles at our Salon party, too, you pagans, you. Yes, Angry Indian. Yes, that is Pastor Starve John Hagee. Ooh-wee. Anyway, it was Monday that, it was Monday that Jim Bob Quiver Daddy Duggar, declared that the United States is just like Nazi Germany. You know, because of Obamacare. And that, in turn, got our buddy Steve worked up and wondering if, you know, maybe he was unintentional, if Duggar was unintentionally correct. And I think it sent our buddy Jeremy in Vermont just running screaming around the room. And that being the case, really, you want the industrial strength duct tape and maybe move from a tennis ball, which can actually be chewed through, to something much more solid like a block of wood. Because Jim Bob Duggar was offered the opportunity to walk back his declaration of absolute similitude between Nazi Germany and the United States. You'll recall this was the original clip.
Back a few years ago, I heard Governor Huckabee speak, and he was sharing about how he had taken his daughter, Sarah, over to one of the concentration camps where a lot of Jewish people were killed. And he said as they were walking out of that concentration camp, he said little Sarah, at the time, she was like maybe, I don't know, 7 years old or so, she looked up at him and she said, "Daddy, why didn't somebody do something?" And you know what? That's where we are at in our nation. You know, do we want our children when they we're going to tell them about how great America was, they're going to look at you and say, why didn't somebody do something? You know what? We have an opportunity to get involved and to make a difference. And you guys are the army that can go out and impact America. If everybody here would instead of sitting on those sidelines and watching from the bleachers, would get active.
There were bleachers at Auschwitz? Missed that one the other night.
We could start a revival that would sweep the land. God bless you.
So that's what he said. And then he went on the campaign trail for Ken Cuccinelli. Treatment available in rash cream, rash spray, or rash powder. He was offered an opportunity to walk that back, but no, he doubled down instead. Lucky for you, we do not have audio. It all started when Terry McAuliffe, who was running against Cuccinelli for governor of the Old Dominion, said, it is shocking that Cuccinelli would accept the support of a man who last week publicly compared the United States to Nazi Germany and the Holocaust. Ken Cuccinelli needs to immediately ask his surrogate to leave Virginia. Mr. Duggar's divisive, hurtful, and extreme rhetoric has no place in this campaign for governor. So they went to the source, Jim Bob Duggar, and said, well, what about it? You compared the United States to Nazi Germany, Jim Bob Duggar. What about it? In typical Repiglican, right-wing, fundamentalist, evil, jellicle, lion, sack of shit fashion, Jim Bob Duggar said, let me clarify. And here it comes. You know where we're going, right? You know, because it was intimated at by Rafael Cruz. Cuccinelli surrogate, Jim Bob Duggar, reality television star, and that's where he really needs to be hit. Anybody that compares the United States to Nazi Germany really doesn't need to be on television. Is their stupid show still on television? Could they be driven from the public airwaves or the cable or whatever the hell it is? Could they? Wonder if anybody. I wonder if our old buddy Stop Rush. Yeah, he's at Media Matters now. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name. Dadgummit. I wonder if maybe he could get busy on that. He seems to be quite good at this sort of thing. Let me clarify, Duggar said. We have, since 1973, had 55 million abortions, so what we have going on is a baby holocaust. Damn. Just damn. By the way, Cuccinelli? Dr. John noting. That name always sounds like the Italian word for an old circus blow-off show. You want to see the Cuccinelli, you got to pay another lira. Hey, thanks, Thomas. Thomas sent Andrew Jackson to spend some to keep company with Sal's Alexander Hamilton. So that means we are down to 145 to raise. I'm sorry. What was I thinking? 120 to raise for the evening. Thank you. Wait, did I miss that? Wait, I'm sorry. I know you don't like this clip. I don't like it either. But Jeremy just noticed something in the Jim Bob Duggar clip.
Concentration camp. He said little Sarah at the time, she was...
Wait a minute. Back up. I'm sorry.
Back a few years ago, I heard Governor Huckabee speak, and he was sharing about how he had taken his daughter, Sarah, over to one of the concentration camps where a lot of Jewish people were killed. And he said...
A lot of Jewish people were killed. A lot. How many? A lot. A lot. Jeremy caught that. Not a lot of Jews, you funny-looking F. Over 6 million. Well, that's a lot. So he's out on the hustings for Ken Cuccinelli. You know, you can sit in a sitz bath and that'll soothe things a little bit. And instead of saying, no, I misspoke, the United States is not like Nazi Germany, he doubled down and said, yep, we're having a baby holocaust here. Pity's sakes. Irish Dave noting, Cooch and Nelly or a stripper team working out of Palermo. You guys. Incorrigible. So, Danny writes in, Bob, I think Hagee the Hut was referring to the buffet bar that only serves single servings, which we all know is a sin. The singles bar. Right. Hey, thanks, Michael. We are now down to $110 to go on fundraising for this evening. Thank you very much. And we've got, I got to say, you'd have to understand the, fully understand the squirrely computer setup here in order to know how bizarre things can get, but... I've got a tweet here. From Sandra. And I need to pull it up. Because it looks like fun. Sandra says, Lee Perry and the White Belly Rats. I am a psychiatrist. Dedicated to Pastor...
Can you start tomorrow?
Pastor Starve, John Starve Hagee. Sandra noting a tune for the party. Yeah. Okay, cool. You're going to be at the Big Salon party? Excellent, Sandra, excellent. So with that understood, we will take a break. Prayer meeting Wednesday rolleth on. A little bit of an update here. Remember when we talked about, oh, what was this Yahoo's name? Ran extended clips of this crazy little bastard. The guy who gets off on pretending to be a law officer, Matt Pitt, down in Alabamistan. We got a Matt Pitt update. It's pretty precious. And whatever it is you want to talk about. But for now, a quick break. It is 25 minutes before 8 p.m. here on the in the Eastern Time Zone. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is for you, Pastor Hagee.
Hit. Many moods, so many moods. I'm a psychiatrist. I'm a psychiatrist. I am a doctor. I'm a soul. I'm a psychiatrist. I'm a psychiatrist. I am a doctor. I'm a soul.
Heal your pain, bless your brain, curse your name from whence you came. I'm a psychiatrist.
Sandra mentioning from time to time that she herself has done some DJ work along the way. You get a tune like that, and you think, I would love to hear Sandra work the turntables some evening. That's awesome. I'm a psychiatrist, Lee Perry and the White Belly Rats. I was sitting here chair dancing. That's why it's a good thing that there is no video involved with this program. It would be pretty embarrassing. And then, you know, if we went video, my occasional forays into naked radio would have to go away, and that would suck a lot. Fritz coming in with a couple of comments. One, John was digging it too. Fritz noting, this is better than the old Casey Kasem long-distance dedications of cheesy love songs on American Top 40 back in the day. And I don't think Casey ever played any Lee Scratch Perry, and not as a segue from John Hagee. Hey, thanks very much, Henry. And again, thank you to Michael and to Thomas and to Sal. We are now down to only $90 remaining in tonight's fundraising. Hey, you know. I hate even mentioning this stuff, but it's how we keep things going here, simply put. All right, I said that I think we've got some working phones. We can test it if you wish. When you've got several lines and they roll over from one to the next, that is called in telephone company parlance a hunt group. No, a hunt group is not Dick Cheney going out into the weeds with somebody whose face he plans to shoot off. It's a group of telephone lines that will roll one to the next, one to the next, one to the next. Let's find out if it works, or at least some portion of it. If you want to get involved in the conversation this evening, and if there's something you want to bring to the table, you are more than welcome to do so. I, in fact, invite you to to do so. And what you can do is dial 304-658-5912. I was able to test this line earlier, and it's working. 304-658-5912 will get you into the program. Wow. This from Irish Dave. Breaking Casey Kasem news, he is the subject of a mental competency hearing as we speak. Seems like Gene is worried about his estate. All right, we've got a caller on the line there. Anybody else wanting to get involved with the program, 304-658-5912. Let's see if the group hunts. Okay? All right. This is kind of weird for me. 3 days without phones. By the way, the Skype line still works. Bob Kincaid Horn, if you want to get involved that way. A note, by the way, from Jeremy going back to Pastor Hagee. Subject line, witchcraft. Wait, says Jeremy. Does this old freak think that Harry Potter and Hogwarts is cold, hard fact? What school other than that could be teaching the dark arts? Holy beep, 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 beep. Yeah, oh, I'm sure Pastor Hagee, if we looked hard enough, we would find some sermon of his where he informs his IQs below freezing followers that they are not allowed to read. Not allowed to read the Harry Potter books. No kidding. Oh, no. Sometimes I just hate this stuff that rolls in from my contact information got into some PR person's Rolodex, and they share these things. We can show that Sandy Hook and the Boston bombings were government operations, as well as the JFK, RFK, MLK murders, as well as 9/11, as well as the Wellstone murder, Oklahoma City. Well, there's an interview we're not going to be having on the program. And click, and trash can, and goodbye. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, you've outdone yourself in finding and raising clips tonight.
Jeremy, are you? You know, you're talking very well for a man with a tennis ball in his mouth.
Yeah, and with a cold too, so that's even more impressive. Yeah, these people play are breathtaking. The things they think, the things they say, especially hearing that Jim Mob doubled down and said we indeed are Nazi Germany.
Yep, baby Holocaust. I mean, where? And this is not a rhetorical question. Where are the folks who are kind of the guardians of the remembrance of what the Nazis did? Where is the stinging rebuke? Where is the denunciation? Where's the Anti-Defamation League? Where's B'nai B'rith? Please, and I'm not being an ass about this. I would really appreciate it if they would come out and tell Jim Bob Duggar to shut his pie hole and encourage whatever. Is he still on TV? You might know that, Jeremy.
Yes. Unfortunately, he is. He has a never-ending contract with TLC, and
yeah. So it's time for him to lose the contract because I'm sure there's some sort of a morals clause or a reserve clause or something in there where he can be traded for a reality show to be named later. Right?
I would happily sign a petition, or I might even write to TLC myself just because these last couple things I've heard him say are just enraging. He can think what he wants in his own private house, do what he wants, but go out in public and say things where it gets back to people and then double down on heinous acts like that. That's a step beyond. I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, he has an absolute right under the First Amendment not to have the government suppress his speech.
Right, yes.
On the other hand,
do I have to tolerate it when it's so obviously over the top and, like, so heinous?
Yeah, but he does not have an absolute right to make a fortune doing it. I mean, either we have a free market economy or we don't. But, of course, we all know that they love the free market when it's working for them, but they want them some socialism when they get their asses burnt in the same market. It's like those pharmacists the other night. I forget who mentioned it, but maybe it was you. Talking about the pharmacists and their conscience and how they don't have to give no abortifacients.
That wasn't me.
Well, they also don't have to have a job as a pharmacist. or they can work for a fundy pharmacist.
My understanding of Jim Bob is that he was a small-time insurance guy, and TLC came to his family because obviously they're large at the time. It was when there was 19 kids. Now there's like 27,000 or something like that. But he was a small-time insurance guy. When he first came to TV, they lived a modest life in a small house. And within the second season, they had taken three little houses and merged them together to fit their whole family. Now, as a small-time insurance man, I don't think you can buy three small houses and merge them in and make almost a mansion. I'm guessing...
I thought he was a real estate agent.
Whatever he was small-time when he first started out. When TLC came through after the third or fourth year, he has a huge house now. We're talking, like, mansion. Like, if you've ever been to George Washington's house, it's like three of those.
Three Mount Vernons?
It is big. On TV, it is the hillside of some town. It is a big house. It looks like it's as long as a couple 53-foot tractor trailers. And that's pretty big.
Damn.
Yeah, so...
It's like a quintuple wide.
Right, and I don't know. I mean, there's other stores like John and Kate, but at least they didn't spread their heinous views in public and stuff like that.
Well, I'm surprised that Credo or Angelo, that was our buddy's name, Angelo, who ran Stop Rush and Stop Beck and all of that. I would sincerely appreciate it if they would start pressure. Hell, we could do it if we worked it, you know, night and day to spread it around. You know, let's get Jim Bob and his weird little family off the air. If they want to declare that the United States is Nazi Germany, let them do it on somebody else's dime.
Right.
And of course, you know the way to do this, right, Jeremy? You don't tell TLC I'm not going to watch the show. You tell TLC, I'm going to take down I'm going to write down every advertiser on this program and every advertiser that I see on TLC, and I'm going to contact them all, and we're going to get a little campaign going on Facebook and a campaign going on Twitter, and we're going to tell the advertisers that we're not going to buy their product as long as they're advertising on TLC until TLC gets rid of Jim Bob Duggar.
Or, better yet, and this would seem maybe like a long shot, you go to Discovery, who's the slave owner of all of these little crapshoot TV channels, including the Science Channel, and tell them you're going to protest all of their advertising network-wide. Because TLC is owned outright by Discovery, which might tell you a lot about some of its programming.
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, this is doable if anybody, you know, if anybody wants to. And I'd say this is appropriate, Jeremy.
Yeah, this is one of those things that gets me mad to hear people compare our country and Nazi Germany anyway, especially when it's tagged with telling his daughter or whatever the hell he told that it was where quite a few Jews were killed, not even a full number. I mean, it's well over 6 million when you count the disabled of any kind, the homosexuals, you name it. Anyone they didn't like, they would knock off. And then you look at some other numbers, like Russia, who sacrificed 50 million to stop the Nazis from coming through their borders. And he wants to talk about 50 million babies aborted, which is just some fictitious number he's come up with.
Yeah. I'm wondering, what's the number? Something like, and it's just nature. Half of all pregnancies don't work out.
Right.
Without any intervention whatsoever, half of all pregnancies don't work out. So are they equally offended by that, or is that just God's will? You know, Ted Cruz declared that the shutdown was God's will. Whenever they like it, it's God's will. When they don't, you know, it's secular paganism, humanism, society, culture.
Why are they going to get mad at animals like bears and stuff, and grizzly bears, who the adult males will kill any female's offspring in the near area?
Oh, wait a minute. You're kidding. Wait. They already have.
No, you've got to be kidding me.
I wish I was. I'm not. It's the American Family Association. It is, in fact, Brian Fisher. And I'm sorry, you just, you know, you, and this just goes to prove, Jeremy, that you can't come up with stupid and think, well, you know, when are they going to do that? No, they've already, no, it's there. They've already done it. This goes back to the 21st day of June 2010. And this is a quote from Brian Fisher on his stupid radio show. And he got angry after a news story all about how some researchers at Yellowstone had trapped a grizzly bear and tranquilized it and fitted it with a radio collar. And then when it woke up, it attacked and killed a person who had apparently ignored the, quote, ignored warning signs posted advising hikers to avoid the area because of the likelihood of a dangerous bear encounter. Okay?
Yeah.
So these are the words of Brian Fisher. We're way past tennis balls at this point. History reveals that God's covenant with an ancient nation suggests that one of the consequences for a nation which walks in his statues, whatever that means, is that it will have nothing to fear from wild animals. If you walk in my statutes, I will remove harmful beasts from the land, Leviticus 26, 3 and 6. On the other hand, if you will not listen to me and will not do all these commandments, I will let loose the wild beasts against you, Leviticus 26, 14, 22. A wholly preventable tragedy, Brian Fisher continues, occurred outside Yellowstone National Park last week as a bear that only hours before had been trapped and tranquilized by researchers woke up from his induced slumber just in time to maul a 70-year-old man who was out for a stroll. A stroll. The man was, according to the AP, mauled at almost exactly the same site where the researchers had left the bear after he'd been tranquilized. I'm not kidding. This really is Brian Fisher. He gets paid a lot of money to say this stuff into a microphone, Jeremy. The grizzly is a predator, a fierce, savage, unstoppable killing machine. Lewis and Clark did not believe the stories they'd been told by Indian peoples about grizzlies until they started running into them. It was not long before their curiosity was quite satisfied about the grizzly. Because these researchers were intent on studying the grizzly rather than killing him to protect innocent human life, because that's what we want the National Park Rangers to do, is just be out killing grizzly bears. A husband, a father, and a grandfather is dead today. This was an utterly unnecessary death, which could have happened only because our culture has jettisoned a biblical view of the relative value of human life compared to animal life. Because this animal was given a nap instead of a bullet, a human being is dead, and a savage animal is alive, on the prowl, and ready to kill again. Earlier this year, I reminded readers that if biblical precedent had been followed, the whale that killed SeaWorld trainer Don Brancho would have been euthanized in 1991 when it killed its first human victim. Ms. Brancho would be alive today if the principles of the Judeo-Christian tradition had been followed, which apparently is to kill whales. God said a curse would fall on a land which turned its back on him, and one consequence would be more tragic deaths at the hands of predatory animals. The truly sad thing here is that we are bringing this curse upon ourselves.
Yeah, out of all of that, Bob, I got Indians. And the fake Columbus guy who came here and discovered India, so therefore the Native Americans became Indians. Yeah, whatever.
I mean,
it's stupid. It hurts. It really does.
No. And you had a headache already.
But I'll let you go. Someone else can talk, since there's only a couple lines that were coming.
Oh no, we had one roll over a minute ago, but whoever it was didn't stick around. So. But thanks for testing it out. This is really cool.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, see you, Jeremy. Bye.
Bye.
Jeremy calling from Vermont to have me make his headache worse. Surprised. Well, maybe they try not to work each other's gigs. Otherwise, I'd be surprised that Pastor Hagee had taken a pass on grizzly bears. Or maybe some of them look at the others and go, no, that's too crazy even for me. My people won't buy it. I mean, they'll tolerate me talking with a mouthful of mashed potatoes and saying things like sklur. But God wants us to kill all the grizzly bears? Hey, boo-boo-boy. So the vote in the Senate was 83-16 in favor of ending the shutdown and passing a temporary stopgap measure so that we can be held hostage again in February. Now it goes to the House. In fact, I had a note from Randy a few minutes ago. Why you should still be worried about the debt limit? I don't know why everyone's relaxing. This still has to be passed by the House, the Senate House Conference Committee, then repassed by the Senate and House, and signed by the President, all before the deadline. And that's true. And, you know, in most instances, if I'm dealing with people of goodwill, I assume they are acting in good faith. And I will do that until such time as I get burned and learn to behave otherwise. I do not assume good faith on the part of the teabaggers. See, I just got another blast email from Daily Kos. Sign the petition. Thank President Obama for defeating the Tea Party. What? The Tea Party's been defeated? Well, let the word be spread. The Wicked Witch is dead. And you know, bring out the munchkins. There's only one problem. The Tea Party ain't dead. Far from it. They're not even going to pay any consequences. Oh, thank you, Jay. Jay with an update. Nope, that was just the vote for cloture on the Senate bill. The Senate bill has not passed. As Jay says, stay tuned. So that was just a cloture motion, Jim. But anyway, so this blast email says, victory is upon us. Republicans have completely folded, agreeing to reopen the government, pay federal employees, and extend the debt ceiling while getting absolutely nothing in return. That ain't true. That is not true. They're getting something. They have forced President Obama to sit down and negotiate with terrorists. When, as noted, the only thing to negotiate over are things like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, WIC, and SNAP. We know from the article that Sandra sent along, and portions of which I shared yesterday, that the damage has already been done. The full faith and credit of the government of the United States is in play now. And so we can just circle a date on our calendars and know that as of February 15th, and probably for 15 days in advance of that, there will be another hostage scenario. And so we'll kick the can, I hate that phrase, down the road and come to another last-minute deal that will set up another hostage-taking situation. Victory is upon us. Republicans have completely folded, agreeing to reopen the government, pay federal employees, and extend the debt ceiling while getting absolutely nothing in return. Credit for this victory belongs entirely to President Barack Obama. Really? Not even a little Laurel and Hardy handshake for Harry Reid? Or for anybody who stood up to the Tea Party thugs, the teabagger thugs? They use a quote here it's a quote from 2 years ago from President Not Sure. More than 2 years ago, President Obama was still in the thick of his previous showdown with Republican House leaders over the nation's debt limit when he called 5 senior advisors into his office. He did not ask their advice, one said. Rather, he told them in a way that brooked no discussion. From now on, no more negotiating over legislation so basic and essential to the economy and the country. I'm not going through this again. I'm not going through this again. It's bad for democracy. It's bad for the presidency, Mr. Obama said, according to the advisor, who declined to be identified, describing internal discussions. The president then told the group, his Treasury Secretary, Chief Congressional Lobbyist, Chief Economic Advisor, and both his and the Vice President's Chiefs of Staff, to spread that word. even in your body language. I'm sorry, I don't see it. I'm not feeling it. I'm not getting all the warmth there. Just don't. Because in point of fact, there will be negotiations. There will be a table at which poo-flinging teabaggers will be allowed to sit. And as long as they're in the room, as long as they're at the table, we're on the menu. And it will not be pleasant. No, I'd say we are far from out of the woods. Colder than hell in February in D.C. and a lot of other parts of this country. Okay, Duncan tells me the vote is going on now on the Senate part of the bill. And I have no doubt that the Senate bill will pass. I mean, the 83-16 cloture vote meant that Ted Cruz had essentially been told to sit down and shut up. But assuming good faith on the part of the Republicans and their teabagging owners... Assuming that way lies madness. So watch this space. Now, where else? What else? I mentioned an update on Matt Pitt. Remember, this was the guy who was so fried out of his... and he was running this youth ministry, this Christian youth ministry called The Basement. Well, he's going to be ministering for Christ behind bars now. He got busted once for impersonating an officer in the state of Alabama. He was confronted about a rifle back in June. At the probation revocation hearing, he also was shown to have had drugs in his system. On the other hand, he said, well, I got prescriptions for all of them. He has been sent to finish out his sentence behind bars. Here's the audio from WVTM-TV in Birmingham, in which, well, the explanations are just precious, to say the very least.
I mean, y'all were there. I mean, y'all heard everything that was in there, too. I mean, I just believe my son is innocent, and I mean, I'm just shocked. I mean, I don't know why everybody's, you know, takes such a personal thing out on them, but I mean, I'm just really, really hurt that, I mean, Matt's just a good guy, man. It's just...
Matt's just a good guy. That good guy was running around flashing a badge telling people he was the police. I would say Matt's daddy's impression of good guy is probably a little different from ours.
I mean, heck, again, all of y'all were in there, so y'all all heard it too, and not one testimony showed that he presented himself as a peace officer, police officer, sheriff, or whatever you want to call it. He hasn't. And I just feel like he's, whatever reason, they're trying to set him up, you know, so.
Because, see, he's white, he's privileged, he is a phony baloney fundamentalist Christian, and therefore he's being persecuted. Right.
Till we can, we're most likely, going to appeal this. So, you see that coming. So, and I just very upset with, here Matt's been in here 60 days. I mean, he's a youth pastor. I mean, everything y'all have heard of Matt Pitt's been more good than anything. I mean,
no,
here
not
we're
really.
Talking about a peace officer where he was, right after he made making a difference award, he got a badge presented to him, took the oath, and he had the badge. And
he didn't take an oath.
He just had it. And that was, why they give those badges out. I mean, it just don't make sense. And I just hope that y'all will be fair to us. And
yeah, be fair to him. Why they give him badges out don't make sense. Well, they give them out as honors, kind of the way mayors give out keys to the city. It doesn't mean you get to unlock the city treasury at night and pilfer a few thousand if you need to. Of course, this is Birmingham, and Birmingham's bankrupt. That's another story. I don't make no sense why they give them badges away if they don't want people showing their badges and telling folks that they's the law. It don't make sense. I mean, he took the oath.
And do, present this, a fair way, instead of, because I know the sheriff's department and all them, and they're, a lot of them are good, and they've been great here to Matt down there. I mean, as far as, but it's just wrong. I mean, what they're doing is just not right, and because there was no proof sustained in there that he was representing a peace officer. I mean, again, y'all were all there. I mean, it's almost like I was shocked that they even, said that. So I just disagree with it. And
well, see, Mr. Pitt, Larry, if that really is your name, there's a difference between disagreeing with something and there not being any proof. There was a judge sitting in that room, and he found substantial proof and necessary proof to revoke the probation. But don't worry, Matt's going to be just fine.
I want my son out. I mean, he's been in there 60 days, and now, we're going to have...
I want my son out. He was bringing in heaping boatloads of money with that basement ministry of his. I mean, there's lots of money coming in, and he's 60 days in jail, and that may have been good for Paul and Silas, but it ain't good for Matt, and it ain't good for our bottom line.
To appeal it to get him out. But you know what? Read through the Bible and different testimonies of different situations. A lot of the men went through a lot of situations. And God's got a plan, and I know He'll prevail on this. And it's...
Well, wait a minute. If Matt is in jail because it's part of God's plan, then why, Larry, if that really is your name, are you bitching about God's plan to have Matt in jail? So few lions.
Just sometimes a test of our faith to stay strong and believe that, that God's going to do, the right thing, which I know He will. But still, there's no reason. I'd like to have my son out, and then we'll take it from there, too. There's no reason to hold him, especially when they're talking about they ain't got any money to hold people in there anyhow. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to me that somebody that's harmless hadn't tried to harm anyone except himself. And, But it's just somebody. It's attack on his character. I'm telling you.
I would like for the sheriff department to be more concerned about when they give these badges, and they need to explain to people what these badges are.
Anybody with a brain with a brain more solid than a raw oyster understands that you're not automatically deputy dog when they give you an honorary badge for helping, you know, for being a supporter of law enforcement, Mama. That's Missy Pitt there talking there. Because, see, it's the sheriff's department. It's their fault that there's... I mean, we ran the audio. The guy was so far past effed up that the light from effed up won't reach him for a million years. I mean, he was sideways. See, here I got a badge. This is the guy who was talking about how fun it was back when he was being a heathen in high school and broke a boy's leg. And talked about all of his troubles with drugs. But yeah, Missy, we get it. It's the sheriff's department. So these Christians are forever talking about people taking personal responsibility, but that's for, you know, us proles. It's not for, you know, them.
What they represent, because the oath on the back of the badge, if you'll read it, is you're taking an oath to represent the sheriff's department.
Represent.
And they should not give these badges out without telling these people what these badges mean.
Oh, Jesus, there's a guy in baseball sleeves behind Missy with a hashtag free MP. Oh, God. Yeah, he's just like Mandela.
And if you'll look at the Alabama code on it, they're actually, I've been reading it myself, and it says they're actually supposed to...
You've been reading, Missy? You can do that? You've been working on the art of word knowing?
Go through training to get these badges. So, you know, we feel like our son was misrepresented in giving him that badge, and it's been nothing but
See, he wouldn't have been a drug addict up out of his mind on pills if they hadn't have given him that badge. See?
Not been good. So Matt has never tried to represent himself as a sheriff or anything like that. And so, you know, it's just a sad day. And, you know, we have really worked hard to try to, we haven't spoke out in over a year what happened the first time because we work with kids. We're trying to get kids to realize the police officers, the government system, this is America. We should be proud of our country, proud of what we stand for.
Huh?
And so to even give these kids any
apparently putting
idea
ranch,
that,
we're putting,
you know,
we're, putting
things,
we're putting basement ranch on the word salad today.
Are being done that can harm you. I mean, it's just a sad day. Matt never has tried to harm anyone, and we just regret that he ever took.
Except he was running around with a rifle. Sometimes when somebody's all effed up on pills and they're running around with a rifle, it's good to, well, freedom, Wolverines.
That badge.
Did he ever bring out the badge to you, just family time, or was it just...
Well, when he first
got it, we were proud that he got it.
Hey, you know, that's pretty cool. He got to make a difference award. And
that's pretty cool.
Took him down and got him a little honorary badge.
But those wallets, you saw the wallet that they showed. The badge is on this side. His identification's on this side. So how can you open your wallet to even get your identification without someone seeing it? People have shown me those badges that have them.
Were they carrying a rifle, Missy? Were they saying they were actually, no kidding, really and for true sheriffs? For Christ.
I've never thought they were trying to impersonate a police officer.
I'd say one out of 7,000 or 8,000. Why are they so hard on this one?
Because he's a Christian.
Just don't, you know.
Clearly confiscated the first badge. Do you know we mad obtained the second badge?
No,
they did not confiscate the first badge. He did not show the badge the first time.
He didn't get no government money check.
But they said in
they
the
took his card. They took the card. Is what it was. They didn't get it.
Well, we don't know. We weren't there. That was our understanding. Thank y'all so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you. Have a blessed day.
Well, fortunately, Matt is a phenomenal leader, and he has raised up all of these young people. And we are speaking all over the country through media. We've raised up leaders. I mean, they're just it's not gonna stop. You can't stop the gospel. It's 2,000 years old. You can't stop the gospel. It's not built on a man. It's built on Jesus Christ. And so all the people.
And Jesus Christ was not a man.
We've been in the largest churches in America, in Birmingham, excuse me, in Alabama. And Matt has preached all over the world with renowned leaders. And so for people to question his, you know, theology or whatever, we have the same beliefs as the largest churches in Birmingham. So it's really sad that they have tried to ruin his character the way they have. And, you know, so I just appreciate y'all being a voice, you know.
Oh, we appreciate you, Missy. We do. Praise Jesus. We appreciate you. Maybe Matt can get dried out in the tank, and maybe he can do some witnessing there in the prison. Oh, God, these freaks. Steve asking, oh, I'm sorry, different story. Jeremy, yeah, wow. If I didn't know better, I'd swear this was some show on Discovery TLC. See, the Hicks are funny and poor people are okay. Just so... this is what we were talking about. This is Matt Pitt back when he had a belly full of brain full of pills.
Are you ready? Just for the record, I want you to say and spell your first and last name, state your position. A lot of people are into the basement.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
So you're proud of this mission, I'm sure.
I don't know if I'm proud, but I'm hoping that it's doing a great job. You know, Billy Graham was an accomplishment when I met him. Tim Tebow. There's a lot of people I've met that have said the basement. I'm like, you know about it? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, you really know about it? And so I couldn't believe that. But yeah, I guess never in your hometown do you feel like you really have made it, you know, doing that much, making a difference.
So today there has been an accusation. You have been accused of impersonating
again
a peace officer. Respond to that for me.
Well, I just got home from my anniversary, my 30-year anniversary. And so when I was gone, I didn't know any of this. I got
home.
And
so anyway, that was the night that he was blasted. And you know, held himself out as being like, you know, MLK or something. Some tweets rolling in. Thank you, Isaac. Bob, you really should be hired to do voiceover work for the Squidbillies. You're good. Thanks. And Sandra, wait, what's happening? They must be W-H-I-T-E because the asshole is still breathing in jail. Well, there is that. Ran across a story earlier today how a well-known drag queen from the drag scene in West Texas had some sort of a problem in El Paso, and the cops showed up, tasered her, and she died from the tasering in the vehicle. Because Matt's still breathing. Maybe there'll be an earthquake and he can get out just like St. Paul done. Hoo-wee. Irish Dave noting, you know, Jesus is often found in prison. It's like he's a habitual felon. Christian recidivist, I guess, maybe. Let's go to the phones. By the way, if you want to reach the program, different phone number, 304-658-5912. Hey, welcome to the program.
You don't need no stinking badge.
Don't need no badges.
That's it.
What's happening, Jim?
You should do this more often.
Which?
I mean, I've enjoyed very much the past couple minutes. I mean, it's been different from the normal, you know, things that you do. And, you know, I think you should entertain a few people to come on who have different opinions and things of that nature. It's always pretty interesting to me.
Okay.
Of course, I'm about half crazy because instead of cutting on the air, I cut on the heat, and I looked at the thing in here. It was 90, and I about faded.
Oh, do you have the sauna going there at Shea Gym?
Oh, the what now?
The sauna. You know, sitting around, you know, beating your back with a little birch branch or whatever like they do in the...
Yeah, I'm sitting here naked with Yevtushenko. No, we got towels on. No, but I don't know.
The towels are always a nice touch.
There you go. Really, exactly. And pour some water on those rocks. And the shady lady just got a flea treatment. And before, she was like the flying, amazing, whatever. I've never seen a cat with such a deal in my life to be 15 years old. I mean, she was bouncing off buildings, tabloid tall buildings, and almost tore the place up.
So, wow. You're telling me that she is not particularly happy with you right now.
Yeah, she is sleeping peacefully now. Before, she was getting up on any precipice she could. And we're talking about 10 or 12 feet off the floor.
Wow.
That is
impressive for a 15-year-old cat.
I'm telling you, she was something else, absolutely. But it was a lesson for me, and certainly a lesson for me about which way to hit the thermostat. But, you know, going back to your previous program, I mean, you know, these people, where are they from, Alabama?
Yeah, Birmingham.
And their son was arrested for carrying a rifle impersonating a constable or officer of the peace?
Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that. He runs a so-called youth ministry called The Basement, which is all, dark and black lights and flashing lights and him stomping back and forth looking all hip, wearing chains and stuff and talking about Jesus back and forth across the stage and giving his testimony about how he just destroyed his brain with drugs and Jesus delivered him from it until he didn't. And so because he was trying to get kids not to do drugs, the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department made him an honorary deputy sheriff. Okay?
Okay.
Just like the mayor giving the keys to the city. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he apparently got undelivered from drugs, Jim, and took to wandering around with a rifle and flashing his badge at people, which the sheriff's department really didn't cotton to. And so he got arrested on the charge, pled to the charge, and got put on probation. And then he did it again.
Oh, he was a naughty boy.
And that audio there that we had, he was interviewed the night that he was basically on the lam, and the TV cameras caught up with him, and he gave his testimony again and compared himself to Martin Luther King. And talked about how Tim Tebow was his good buddy.
Oh, dear. Well, that's one time when, you know, I simply say this. Oh, Lord, please protect me from some of your followers.
Yeah. It's that line from Gandhi all over again, Jim. Gandhi said, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ.
Well, that's true. He did say that. Absolutely.
And in many instances, I think he had a pretty valid point.
It would appear so from some of the things I've seen. It would appear so. There are a lot of people out there who were just... Well,
and you know what? I'm sympathetic to a mommy and a daddy who want their little boy out of prison. But, you know, if they were really followers of their faith, Jim, maybe... they would instead be on their knees praying for deliverance of all the people in that jail, not just one. I mean, would that be consistent with the teachings of Yeshua?
I think that would be a collective effort in accord with the teachings of Christ. I do. Yes, absolutely. I mean, why should he... I mean, this guy's an absolute nut. He ought to be behind bars. There's no question about it. But, I mean, you know, to answer your question, they should be praying collectively and not selfishly. Particularly, I can't believe that after one time they got him again. What was he doing the second time? Just the same thing?
Rifle, woods, badge. And in fact, in that one interview where he talks about his buddy Tebow and how he's the same as Martin Luther King and everything, he gets out his badge and says to the reporter, "See there, There it is. How about that?
Well, he's obviously got some serious problems, very serious. And how in the world he got an honorary badge, I don't know. And particularly with a subterranean basement, what type youth ministry in which they have black lights?
Oh yeah, I mean it's flashy, and I mean it's like a rock concert, you know, with the lasers and the lights flashing all around, and you know, jumbotrons and a house band that has equipment that would make that would make Pink Floyd blush.
Well, I've never quite been exposed to that, Bob.
Count yourself lucky.
I mean, not for that particular type of medium or message, that's for sure. But you never can tell. But like I say, I think you ought to have some of these people on a little more often just to flavor things up. I found it kind of entertaining in a way. You have to excuse my perverse sense of humor.
I understand.
Well, listen, somebody else, I hope, is trying to call. I'm going to get off here.
All right. You take care, Jim. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye there. That's our buddy Jim calling in, and I'm glad that the shady lady is resting comfortably. Jay did a little research. Here are your no's on the Senate bill, your no votes. Coburn, I mean, the usual suspects. Coburn, Cornyn, Crapo, Cruz, Enzi, Grassley, Heller, Johnson of Wisconsin. Hey, that rhymes. He works in the lumber mill there. Lee, Paul, Randy Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. Risch, Roberts, Rubio, Scott, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III of Alabama. Shelby of Alabama. Toomey of Pennsylvania. And Vitter of Louisiana Stan. Any one of these are, you know, this isn't some pissant House of Representatives race, which is easier to control than a Senate race. Any one of these individuals, especially Toomey, Pennsylvania, I understand that it was Rick Smith who gave me that classic old line, Pennsylvania is Philadelphia in the east and Pittsburgh in the west and Alabama in the middle. I understand that. But this is a man who, in essence, this vote in the Senate was a vote on whether or not the government should default on its due and owing bills. How can any, and you know, they like to say, we got to run our country like a household budget. We can't spend money we ain't got. Well, the household budget also pays its bills, or the power gets turned off and the phone gets turned off and they come repo the car and they'll throw you out of the house if you don't make the mortgage payment. Even in Alabama, Stan, you would think that Sessions and Shelby would be bounced out on their ears for voting to tank the government. Oh, wait, it's Alabama, Stan. Never mind. Pennsylvania? Anybody? Wisconsin? Please. Iowa, Grassley. Then again, they anoint people there. Coburn, Oklahoma. You know what's interesting? Inhofe is not on this list, and he's nuts. He's the one Bart Cop calls Pissquick. And please, I mean, we got friends in Louisiana, Stan. Will y'all knock on some damn doors and see about getting Diaper Dave out of the Senate? I know. It's an excellent one. I think their confidence in voting this way tells us something about the depth and breadth and scope of teabaggery inside the several states. They felt comfortable. They felt comfortable voting to trash the country. And that's pretty profound. Back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
I thought I heard someone call my name there until I heard that it was a vote against the, or vote for the shutdown, and Scott voted for the shutdown?
Yeah, that would be Scott of South Carolina, Stan.
Well, of course. You know, we got to stop that black guy in our White House. Good grief. We can't vote to keep America running with that black guy in the White House. Good grief.
And again, I don't think, Kevin, that we can naturally assume or necessarily assume that this is all said and done. Because I don't think the teabaggers are going to lay down over in the House. Now, he's going to, Boehner, the way this is going to work is that Boehner will apparently let the bill come to the floor absent the so-called Hastert rule that says it has to have majority support to come to the floor.
Yep. Well, you've also got that thing out there, absent the rule saying that it had to be the Speaker or his designee or the House leader or his designee.
Yeah, Cantor.
Yeah. So, well, all I got to say is I hope they have enough common sense to not screw us over any more than we have, because I have been getting emails all day saying it's over, deal's done, it's been reached, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, not until they vote on it, not until I see the thing signed and sitting on the president's desk, I won't believe it's over. And
maybe, you know, maybe we're just paranoid, but the thing is, just backing up a little bit, Kevin, what does it mean that it's over?
Right.
Who's going to take the whipping on this? Because I keep coming back to that and saying it again and again and again because I'm trying to get it, you know, sort of just fully comprehended.
Yep.
They're going to go negotiate about the budget.
Right.
Now the sequester budget is billions of dollars less than the Paul Ryan budget, which was a granny starver in the first place. There are already tens of thousands of children not going to Head Start.
Yep.
Okay? There are already people... North Carolina has shut down its welfare program already.
Yep.
There are people who are facing utilities disconnections who work in good faith for we, the people, in the federal government.
Yep.
And, you know... What's left? What's left to cut? Where can we bring some more pain? Oh, by the way, Ron and Raleigh pointing out, by the way, Tim Scott of South Carolina is also a black guy, albeit a self-hating one.
Oh, yeah. I'm well familiar with him because I have a cousin with the same name and not the same color, obviously, but same name and... I followed Mr. Scott's career, kind of, sort of.
Well, and Duncan just let me know via a quick chat. Patty Murray of Washington State, Senator Patty Murray, and Paul Ryan from the House are going to sit down in a meeting tomorrow. Does that give you the... I mean, really, Paul Ryan? That gives me the shivers.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the first thing everybody has to realize when we say it's, in quotes, over, because it's only over for 90 days. Like you said, come about February, we get to go through all this again. And these teabaggers, I think if you hit them over the head with a teabag for, they wouldn't learn anything, you know? And it's just amazing to me the amount of lack of caring of other people that they have. Because I was listening to you, I think it was today's Wednesday, Monday show it might have been, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I know from my own experience, disability comes to someone unexpected. You can be in a car accident, you can be walking down the road and trip over something and break your neck. It comes in unexpected ways at unexpected times. And people have paid in to their Social Security and disability throughout their working life. And you're going to cut that, but you're not going to cut your health care, you being the senators and congressmen, your health care, your priorities, as we saw during the shutdown, we could keep parks open, we could keep monuments open, but we couldn't feed our people. And that, to me, is just starting with wrong, but it's atrocious would be a better word for it. Then
humiliating, embarrassing. Yeah. It's like Dr. Bill pointed out yesterday. The world, apart from being rather nervous at the idea that the teabaggers are willing to collapse the entire global economy, the world's laughing at us.
Oh, yeah, and the Chinese, when they came out and said, maybe we need to Americanize that, that should be a tremendous wake-up call to any Republican. Because what the Chinese are saying is, screw the Americans, we don't need them. And if the world takes that opinion, we're going to find ourselves in a very lonely place. And it just...
Well, you know, you really touched me, Kevin, with what you just said about, you know, you don't see disability coming, and you certainly don't ask for it, and you don't want it, and you don't court it.
Nope.
It happens, though. One of the fellows that I see downtown when I go down to, you know, get a loaf of bread or whatever, I just found out yesterday he's in the hospital facing amputation of both feet.
Wow.
Because of his diabetes.
Yep.
Now this guy is rail thin, and he's a nice fella, and I saw him a couple of months ago. And he was getting ready to go out and cut down a tree for some fella because he just has to work however he can work.
Right.
And now he's in the hospital, and you know, and there won't be any bionic prosthetic feet for him either.
Oh no, no. He'll be lucky if Medicare, Medicaid, or whatever he's got pays for his prosthesis.
Right. And see, he, according to the Paul Ryans and the John Boners and the Eric Cantors and the Louis Gohmerts and the Steve Kings and the Michelle Bachmans of the world, he's a moocher.
Right.
When I've never known this guy to do anything but bust his ass day in and day out.
Well, I would dare say 95% of the people on whatever form of quote-unquote welfare they are aren't moochers. Most have been working their whole lives. Most of them didn't want whatever happened to them, whether it be disability or lack of a job or just poverty. They didn't ask for it, didn't want it.
Yeah, what was it that Dr. John wrote earlier this evening about how capitalism is a system that deliberately consumes everything it touches and maybe I'm paraphrasing now, chews people up and spits them out?
Yep.
Well...
Oh, yeah.
Once it's chewed you up and spit you out, it has no further use for you. And consequently, the Republican Party thinks that, you know, die and die quickly.
Right. And they want to say that socialism, it's God as the government. I'm like you. I've read Marx and Engels, and, gee, I don't remember them saying that. You know, and the pure socialism certainly isn't evil to me.
And yet here's John Boner declaring in a radio interview back into Ohio, oh, he fought the good fight. Oh, he just didn't win. What's good in terms of a good fight? What is good about trying to destroy the very government as we understand it to exist? Where's the good in that, Kevin?
Yeah. There is nothing good in it. You know, I asked a question earlier today. What was accomplished? Absolutely frickin' nothing but making things worse for everybody in the country and the world when you consider what happens if our credit rating goes kaput. And, you know, now I'm hoping that enough people in the House have enough common sense to vote to stop this thing, even for 90 days, because it's the, you know, granted, I grant you it's 90-day reprieve, and we're going to go through it.
But see, I beg to differ there, Kevin. It isn't, there's nothing about this that's a reprieve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I agree with you. And what I'm saying is that at least we don't have to worry about suddenly not being able to, or at least I don't, I guess would be the better correct way of saying, I don't have to worry about suddenly not getting a Social Security check 2.5 weeks from now. And that, you know, so, okay, now I've got till February to go, gee, I may not get a Social Security check at the end of February, but at least I got 3 months to kind of get ready for that. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's a reprieve in that sense for me. That it's not a 2 week thing where I don't know what I'm going to do if the worst happens. And it, you know, I don't know why there aren't more people in the streets protesting these idiots. You know, it just, I think that's the, what needs to be done is people just need to be out in the streets protesting these people. And that again goes back to this 90-day thing. In a way, I'm against that. I'm against this little reprieve because it strings people along and gets people comfortable again, you know, and makes them think everything's going to be okay. Well, it's, you're right, it's not going to be okay, you know. The shutdown isn't over yet, which means even if the vote tonight is a vote to end the thing for 90 days, people aren't going to be going to work tomorrow. Probably won't be going to work till the beginning of next week. They're certainly not going to get checks tomorrow. You know, so that's where, no, it's not over. And it won't be over for a few days yet for people. May not be over for 2 weeks. I haven't heard, have you, whether they have decided to pay these workers retroactively?
I saw some mention of it, but I don't think it was cast in stone.
No, I don't either. And then think about what's been missing the past 2 weeks. Food inspections, all those inspections.
Mine inspections.
Yeah. So what have we got to look forward there that we haven't heard about yet? We know that food workers were brought back because of that salmonella outbreak, but what was it, Foster Farms still had food on the shelves from that thing?
Yeah, they were still rolling it out.
Yeah. So, you know, what have we still got to look forward to? And with no mine inspections for, what, the past 2.5 weeks, what could possibly go wrong there? We know that a well has already leaked 200-some-odd thousand gallons in Montana, I think it was, or North Dakota. Was it Montana or North Dakota?
North Dakota. Yeah.
You know. So where is the leak going to spring up next that the next week farmer is going to go out and, what's that smell? What do I smell? Oil, you know.
Yeah, that ain't black gold anymore.
No.
Oh, and I said, well, you want something horrifying? I saw first ever underwater photos of a corroding tar sand, because see, they've been pipelining this tar sands crude goo for a while, and yep, some of it actually runs under, I believe, the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Or runs along the bed, you know, the bottom of the Great Lakes.
Yep.
I saw a first ever photograph. Yeah, the thing is crumbling.
Yep.
But as long as the profit's rolling, you know, they don't have anything to worry about. And well, hell, you know, what's a dead? I mean, it's only the Great. It's only 10% of the world's fresh water.
Sure. Yeah, and it only serves as probably.
I mean, there's profits to be made, Kevin.
Yeah. Sure, until the thing does give in, and then suddenly there's no more profits. There's a whole lot of cleanup and no water for people.
Yeah, but we'll write the cleanup off, and right, we'll probably get a kickback from the government for having, you know, for the cleanup. So it's still a win-win.
Oh yeah, we don't call the corporate welfare. We don't call that welfare. We call that write-off, and we call that business. So, you know, we don't call what we give our people that are sick, disabled, poor, or whatever, we don't call that business, because if they were working and they were making real money, hey, we might actually have a good economy, you know. But we don't want to do that because those people don't count. It's all their fault that whatever happened to them happened to them. And so, you know. Thanks for letting me vent.
No worries. It's good to hear from you. It's nice to have the system back up and running.
Oh, yeah. I kind of like the new number, too, so. So, anyway, I just wanted to call in and say hello, and actually, it's kind of nice to be able to call. So.
All right. Kevin, you have yourself a good evening.
You too, Bob.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Calling from Colorado Springs, that's our buddy Kevin. And let's go to the Skype line where Jeff is waiting. Hey, Jeff. Oh, Jeff. Jeff? Moment. Oh, and Duncan answered Kevin's question via thehill.com. Senate bill to end government shutdown aims to pay back furloughed federal government workers as soon as practicable. Well, at least it's not with all deliberate speed. Are you there, Jeff? Okay. All right. We'll try Will. Will calling from Chicago. Hey, Will. What am I doing wrong here? Hold on. Stand by a sec. Well, this is something I can't fix on the fly, daggummit. My apologies, Will and Jeff, both of you. Wait a minute. Aha! There's our problem. Do I have you now, Will?
I hope so. Can you hear me now?
I got you.
Good, good. I believe your analysis is essentially correct, that we are just delaying the day of reckoning, but realistically, that's the option which a lot of people predicted. However, while I do not like the thought that we will have this repeated again, and we will have our earned income benefits, something that the Tea Partiers are going to salivate over, much like Dennis Hastert used to salivate over a smorgasbord. Still, we have some harm ending, and there's a potential for good, namely that when the GOP pulls this again,
notice the use of the phrase, the use of the word when, not when. If. When.
Not if. When? Why? They are utterly predictable. They have no ideology in terms of offering solutions or offering proposals. They haven't even bothered to offer an alternative to the Obamacare that they dread. Rather, they want to privatize everything so their backers can get things, but they are now in a much weaker position because they have freaked out the chamber, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which, unlike your local Chamber of Commerce, run by your local merchants, is really about the big companies who were sweating bullets. So I think that we are going to have more of a chance to see the Tea Party expose themselves for who they are, and what we need to do as a public is to tell anyone who's even pretending to negotiate with them, since honestly, I think the best approach is to pretend to negotiate with them rather than give them anything is to say no, hell no, and to teach them some key stock phrases to use while talking to the likes of Paul Ryan and Ted Cruz. Key phrases like ingest, excrement, and expire. Please go suck on that hand grenade over there after you pull the pin. And also, you have lost. The American public is supporting the ACA and other things. We are not going to sell ourselves out by offering Social Security. And by the way, the business community now hates your guts. So I advise those who are concerned about this to tell whoever is representing them in Congress or the Senate to be utterly ruthless. Because the irony is if when they do this in February, and when they do this again later in the year, because I'm sure they will try to kick this to just before the next election.
They will do this again and again and again, will until they are taught not to.
Exactly.
And we have not taught them not to.
We haven't taught them not to yet. And I think what will be needed is a purge of the House. Because short of that, I'm not certain that these Tea Partiers will learn.
I have no I have no confidence whatsoever, and I don't mean to be a nattering nabob of negativity. I have no confidence whatsoever that there is a single teabagger who is going to be punished for this behavior.
I hope that.
I mean, really,
they are in the marginal districts, but in the securely gerrymandered ones, probably.
Well, but where are these mystical marginal districts, Will?
Well.
It ain't the first district of Texas, I can tell you that, because Sergi's already schooled us on that.
No, but there are probably somewhere there's Republicans who won in 2010 and 2012 who may be more vulnerable in 2014. I'm not an expert on the politics, but damn it, at least we can try to make them sweat bullets and run for whatever backers they have. I mean, Howard Dean at least had the right idea with the 50-state strategy, namely challenge people everywhere and do what you can. If there's going to be any consequences, we the people are going to have to enforce them, because that's what I have faith in more than any politician. And I hope that we see the people rise up and find their own power. And I think that will happen sooner or later. When, I don't know. It's kind of like trying to predict when that grizzly you referenced earlier will wake up. I'm hoping the grizzly called the American people will wake up and take several swipes out of the Tea Party so that they can be put in the dustbin of history.
Yeah, but the thing is, and I don't know, I'm not the answer guy. Hope ain't going to cut it, Will.
No,
and you and I both know
hope,
that
it's going to be hard work.
Yeah, door knocking.
Door knocking.
I mean, we're never going to have the money they're going to have. The only thing we've got is goodwill and brains, and hopefully the willingness to get out and bang on some doors.
Exactly. Politics is a ground game. You win it on the ground, door to door, street to street. And if it sounds like urban warfare, yeah, that's their apt analogy. Because the Tea Party is in it for keeps. What they want is Ayn Rand's vision of the world, which doesn't work, which several people have pointed out time and time again, that those who went gold, where do they get the skills and the ability to build houses, feed themselves and the like, and not end up cannibalizing each other within the first 2 weeks? So we have to get out there. Any cause you care about, like the ACAC, work for, find people to support who support such good causes. And while you're also supporting such good causes, Remember, the Horde also needs your support.
Thank you. Thank you very
kindly.
Thank you very kindly for mentioning that, Will, because it looks like we're going to close the close the program this evening, and we're just minutes away. We're going to close the program this evening, kind of stuck on $90 for where we, you know, for the money we need to raise on any given night. So, anybody that wants to help is tremendously appreciated. Will, have yourself a good evening. Thank you very kindly.
You're welcome. Keep faith, and let's get out there and work hard.
Amen. Later, Will.
Later.
Our buddy Will calling from Chicago. We'll get back at it tomorrow evening, Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we'll try to do a little front porch action, I think. So I'm looking forward to that. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Marty and Brian and Marty and Brian and Henry and Michael and Thomas, all of whom brought you tonight's program. Thank you very kindly. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox and Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT.org. That's where you go, ACACT.org, to become a part of the process whereby we bring about the end of Appalachia's agony. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Smith is next on the Horn.